Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 198th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we will visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guest today is Martin Sungoyo. He was raised in South Sudan, came to the United States with his wife and the first two of his four children in 2000 as refugees. For 22 years, Martin has been an interpreter, even before his arrival. And in Portland, he saw the need for more interpreters and formed New England Interpreters Service. He was my guest on the 55th edition of New Mainers Speak back in April of 2015, discussing his background and how he became an interpreter and business owner. So if you want to listen back, enjoy the archives at newmainersspeak.com. But today, he's here to tell us a little bit about his journey into another new business and what has inspired him to move in this direction. Welcome back, Martin.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
I imagine interpreters see a lot of personal and family struggles in their work in hospitals and schools and courtrooms. Interpreting is a job that seems to lead naturally into human services, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You have moved again to fill a need in the community, this time offering mental health services to families in their native languages through your new business called USA Family Wellbeing Services. Can you tell me about what your vision is for USA Family Wellbeing Services?
The vision for the USA Family Wellbeing, just by naming it, it means when family come here, their life changes. So well-being, that means they're going to live well. They receive the kind of service they needed. But family well-being is designed to help, to facilitate, or to help those who went through difficult, name it, world trauma, and disaster, family. Some people experience killing, some people, they lost their kids. And those people, they're living with this kind of pain. And in American society, they try their best to provide the service, but some people are still far away from getting this service. So that's why we look, we thought, let us try to join an American and work together and support those families who are in need. So that's the reason we went on and started the USA Family Wellbeing, so we can be able to support the family who are really stuck home, don't know what to do.
Yeah, and you bring a cultural sensitivity as well as native language, because from what I understand about trauma is it's not stored in a place in your brain where words are. So you don't have a way to express it, but we stumble through and try to express it. But I can't imagine trying to express your traumas or even work around them in a second or third language. It's wonderful that you're providing these services in people's native languages.
Definitely. We try our best to connect the English with the native, those who not, there's the people who don't even speak English or an other language, so they have their own dialect. Let me talk about South Sudan itself. There is almost 64 languages spoken. They don't speak Arabic clear, so we try to find their native language. We have Azande.
That's your
we
language.
Have Nuer. We have Acholi, we have Bari, we have Kuku, we have Muru, we have Baka, name them all. So we have Murli. They can speak, they can talk about themselves in Arabic clear. They only know how to speak a few words. So we connect them now with this service by providing their native language. When you go to Rwanda, you have a Kenya, Rwanda, they don't speak the French or English. So now we have an expert who spoke their mother tongue. they are able to understand what that means. And same in Burundi, they have their native language. We are now able to provide it. When you go to Congo, there is more language, not only Lingala. There is a more mother tongue language spoken there for the people who live in the village. And then from there, they flee to come here. They don't speak French. They don't speak Lingala. So when you provide them with their mother tongue, they will be able to understand, to express their feeling. Not only there, when you go to Eastern Europe, there's a multiple language spoken there. So we reach the grassroots. We find out that in order for us to provide this service, we have to go deep to do the research and find what's the reason they don't have access to that service. So we have this tool in our hand. That's why we went on and started the USF Family Wellbeing.
I think the family part's really important, because when you help one individual in a family, you change the whole chemistry for everybody in the family. And so you send people into people's homes and do outreach. So what kinds of stressors are you most likely to find in the families of immigrants that you serve, beyond the everyday mental health diagnoses like autism spectrum disorder and developmental disorders? You're finding many of your clients have trauma as well that you're working with.
Before I go to your question, okay. And USA Family Wellbeing have a very professional expert on the team. We have people who was a doctor back home, people who are psychiatry doctor, they don't have their lenses. So they went on and do some research and do a very local training at Mask School. And they find out that in order for them to not just sitting aside, it is good for them to start, do their own research, do this kind of local training, and start working with this community. From there, they can be able to pursue and get their licenses. So, yes, there is a lot of stress within the community. And imagine somebody living in America, have all the tool in his hand. The government provides all the tool, but lack of knowing how to reach out to get out of this kind of stress. Leaving home, you don't know how to reach to the agents or to the hospital or to the psychiatric doctors who can help you. So we try our best to reach out to those who are stuck home and try to explain for them. And it is a really a humanitarian job for the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't imagine what a relief it would be, because not only is your client able to express him or herself more clearly, but then we'll connect up with the resources that are right here that they may not know about.
Absolutely. There's every day we go through this kind of situation. A family who was living, they don't have access to the psychiatric doctor. They don't have access to see the clinician, access to local resources. Some people just rely on the food stamp. When food stamp running out, they don't. And some family, they're about to lose their housing because they don't understand to go to the local meeting, to attend the meeting, to pay the bill on time. So now we try to educate them. Some of them already evicted. It's not that they do the crime because they didn't know how to attend that meeting.
Yes.
So all this cause another trauma. So
it would be so terrifying.
Yeah,
it is
terrifying.
All kinds of things you need to know how to do, but you don't even know
how
to find out what.
Because of the language barrier, you have your own trauma. So.
And I picture a mother who's needing to be with her child with autism spectrum disorder, unable to get out of the house, and maybe you all come in and can speak with her in her native language and help her figure out how to do it all. It's hard enough.
They attempt to thank us more than we told them. No, it is not us. It is the state. It is the United States provide this service. That's why we call it in USA Family All Well-Being. It is the government. Because you didn't have way to have access to it, we went and applied for the license. Now, thank God that we get the license. We're here to provide you these services. It is not us who provide the service. This service has been there, exists, but lack of your language, lack of the how to reach out to the service, that's why you're stuck.
And so they are so grateful. They must just heap gratitude
so
on you.
They're so grateful.
Do they try to feed you?
They try their best, and then we tell them, no, it is not that we come here for this. We want you to have and well-being of the United States. When you come here, you're supposed to live well.
It must be surprising to them that someone's looking out for them, making sure they're okay.
It is surprise to them, and then by seeing having the old service provided for them in their own home, and someone come talk to them about daily life, someone like case worker to come and help them and fill all these people and to explain for them why they be evicted, and try to help them go back to their housing. And some of them really do appreciate what we are doing.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Martin Sanguayo. He is a U.S. citizen, Portland resident, husband and father of four, who also runs two businesses, New England Interpreter Service and an in-home mental health support service called USA Family Well-Being Services. Like so many immigrants, I think that Forbes said it is 25% of new businesses are started by immigrants. I add that because it's so important to think about our tax base and the contributions of people who are highly motivated. Like so many immigrants, you've started a business as an interpreter, but now years later, you have started the second business. This takes not only hard work, but also imagination and hope. You were born to parents who are humble farmers with 16 children. And I'm just curious where you get your ability to dream big. Where does that come from?
It's come for what I learned from my fathers. And what I came here also, I find an individual here who take the place from my parent. And she is one of the lady. I will keep her in my mind, in my daily prayer. All my success here is coming because of her. And
you met someone who did this for you, and now you're doing it for other families.
Yes.
She hooked you up.
She hooked me up. And the first day I arrived here, and I was walking in the street, she said that this guy is not from the United States. He's an immigrant. She stopped, and she asked me, where are you going? I was walking from Congress going to Sherman Street. We were going there to learn how to fill the application for the income tax because we were about to start working. And she said, you're not from America. You're not from here. I said, yes, I just came here 10 days ago. And she drove me all the way to the Sherman Street, and she told me when I finish, she will come and pick me.
Aww.
That's the way the relationship starts. Her name is Pat Ariana. So she was leading the organization here called the Russell of Portland. It's located in 94 Washington Avenue. From there, we developed a good relationship. She taught me, she helped me. She helped me to get my GED quickly through the volunteer program. And also, my parents always telling us to try to give, not to receive all the time. So when you work hard, you're going to be giving out. But if you want to receive, it's not good for the young man or for the young lady. Try your best to dream that you want to give instead of receiving. Yes, you can receive when you're young, but when you grow up, try to work to give. So by giving back home, my parents, they taught us how to give 10%, not money. We used to grow a crop. So each year when you collect it, you have to give 7% to the church so they can give it for those who are in need.
Yeah, so you were subsistence farmers, but you tithed your bounty to the church and fed other people because you were givers.
Yes.
You were raised to be a giver.
Yes, yes. So from there, when I came here, to start the family well-being, it wasn't easy. It was a dream. I started with a group of medical doctors, a group of friends. Unfortunately, one of a very unique person was my best friend. He wasn't able to make it, and he just passed away on March.
I'm sorry. What was his name?
Yeah, Samson Kabashi. He was the very brainstorm. Ah. He have a good idea. So he just passed away.
So we lost him. This business was partly his idea.
Yes,
and now you're carrying the work on for Samson.
Definitely, his idea. He taught me how to do all this structure. How if we sit down. He said, "This is the way we should do it." And
well, this kind of thing isn't really an accident that it happens to you. You're actually really good at asking for help.
Absolutely.
And earlier you were saying it's really important that you don't pretend you know all the answers already.
That is good.
Say that more about that. How does that play into your life? How does that help your success?
It helped me to succeed because always when I stuck, if you try to do something by yourself, you don't know. You may end up by stuck. So when you start to do something, try to surround yourself with professional expert who can help you to lead you to the right direction. So when you do something wrong, this guy will say, oh, usually this is the way we're supposed to do it. And this is the right way to do that. So that is why we build up quickly and become an organization. And we were a group of folks who have experience, some of the good clinicians who've been in field. And one of them is Mr. Phil. We call him Dr. Phil, but his actual name is Phil. Felix Delvecchio, so he's the clinical director now. So the guy, he's a very humble guy, and he's always willing to help. So we struggled since 2006. First, our mistake that we went and rent a building, which is not connected to the fire department. When the state came for inspection, the fire department, we couldn't pass. So it takes us another years. Our insurance was expired without doing nothing, but we still stuck as team. We get our insurance. We pay for the insurance for the full years. We didn't do nothing. So we have to go through the appeal process. And then now we get a new location at Washington Avenue. And finally, they pass the inspection. And then they grant us the licenses for 2 years. So that's the reason when you ask, you get a direction. So if we ask before, we couldn't go and rent a building for 1 year without knowing that it may not pass the inspection. So when we start to ask, we find the right answer.
There are so many hidden obstacles.
Yeah.
That you can't possibly know what to do everything. You need to be courageous enough to ask, humble enough to ask.
Absolutely.
And you've done that brilliantly and weathered the storm. You have to figure out all those things. You spent 2 years learning how to become an administrator so you can be a proper administrator of this program. Yeah. And you've received help from a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Do you have any advice for others who are perhaps considering starting a new business as immigrants or otherwise?
Yes. To start a new business, you just need to sit down with a group of experts. A small business developer in Maine, they will help you to do your
business plan.
Business plan. That's what we started first. And Peter here at USM, he is the one. Help us to develop a professional business plan. And then fourth thing, and then you have to sit with the team. After you develop the business plan, you have to find a team who can help you. By yourself, there's too much regulation. You can't pass through it by yourself. You can have your own degree in your brain. You brought it from Africa, from Middle East. If you don't have export here, it's going to be a challenge for you. So I strongly want the group of the immigrant who was willing to study business to try to find help from export around the state. There is more people want to provide help even for free.
It seems to me a statement about diversity.
Yeah.
If you alone try to do something, you might not have all the skills. But if you have people with different skills, a diverse set of backgrounds, you can navigate with a lawyer for the legal issues and a social worker for the social context and whatnot.
Definitely.
Yes, you're a smart man.
Thank you.
After learning all about providing mental health services, I'm curious to hear what you think it takes to live a happy, healthy life and enjoy a sense of well-being here in Maine.
I've been having my well-being since my arrival here in the United States, September 27. My well-being when I get here, I didn't have a struggle. When I get here, I have my apartment already set for me. My family was well received, so that's the part of their well-being. And there is a people who was here already prepared for me to serve me. I have my kids worker. Her name is Florence, and she's worked for me now as an interpreter.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, she is the one who received us as a kids worker. Mm-hmm. So therefore, she is also part of the family well-being. So I didn't have a difficult. My family received well-being here. We were well-being when since we arrived here. And from there, we started working. And the family back home, there was well-being because we were here to supply them financial. We worked hard to help the family back home during the civil war in South Sudan. And so we did not have enough difficult here. Yes, there was a difficult. We didn't have snow. When we arrived here, there's too much snow. And the first time, I have to fall down, and then I have to go to the emergency due to the snow.
You have to learn to walk like a penguin.
Yeah, definitely. So therefore, our being here was a kind of well-being. And not only
safe.
For us, for our family. Those who were scattered around the world due to the civil war in South Sudan, that time, Uganda, Congo, Egypt, we were able to supply them financial because we was living well here. So that's why we call it in USA family well-being.
I love it.
Yeah.
Once you were safe and you had your basic needs met, food and shelter, then you could enjoy the opportunities and not only take care of your family, but take care of others because you were raised to be a giver.
Definitely. We managed to secure the shelter for my kids. We have a beautiful house at Greenwood Lane, Portland. And our kids, they're living safe. And this is one of the greatest things we have ever done for my family.
I bet you couldn't have imagined your path when you were a child, one of 16 children, that you would one day be living in the United States, a business owner of two businesses.
Nobody has a dream, but God has already set for me.
You've listened carefully.
Yeah, God has given this kind of dream for us and then send us to this great nation. For everyone who came here, if you have a dream, if you follow this dream, you will be successful.
Well, you dream and you work hard, Martin. You're not only working to help Mainers locally, but you also keep an eye on helping to establish a healthy education system back in South Sudan while sharing resources over there, too. It seems to me you are a wonderful example of someone with two worlds who has figured out how to honor both at the same time. I'm sure
Thank
your
you.
Family is very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Because of you, that's why people know about what we're doing. And hopefully that the Mainer will listen and will those who need to do volunteer work, we also have the offices open for those who want to help and volunteer or have a opportunity for work, for well-being. It's all open now.
Wonderful. So good to know. And thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Martin has selected for today. Can you say a quickie about why you chose this song?
Everything will be all right. Everything will be well. And never give up.
Yes. So when you get discouraged, you put this on in your car?
Yes.
Don't worry about a thing. Thanks, Bob Marley.
Thank you.